Hello, hello, hello. This is Chaotic Music Meetings on CITR 101.9 FM, situated on the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Today I have Redress from Victoria live in studio, aka Alec Green. So Redress, take it away.
Okay. Hi, I am Redress. Thank you for listening today. Here's another song.
It's the feeling that you just
and
more than
supposed to be For something that might not reach back. I hate this incessant back and forth of knowing and not knowing again. As I wade through the fog of it all, I know I'm alone, but I'll never be lonely in a fit of pure understanding. I know I'll get. What I deserve. You guided people of the beautiful forest. I get pleasure while relaxing in the highest. Beautiful imagery that feels sound and sunlight. You guided people of the beautiful forest. I get pleasure while relaxing in the highest. Beautiful imagery that feels sound and sunlight. Good smell. Good taste. Thank you.
Cynthia Surgeon! True glory! Feast will be held in the name of reverse reality. Unreality, meet your maker. Now not knowing more than never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever before. Void. Don't you take her. Unequivocal, unknowing, undulations under uterus of a swine. The ascension, true glory. Feasts will be held in the name of reverse reality. Unreality, meet your maker. Unequivocal, unknowing, undulations under the ovum of a big pot-bellied swine. The ascension, true glory, feast will be held in the name of reverse reality.
I have a few more songs to play. you go to leave, don't look back, close the door. Thanks for listening still. I'm making a music video, and it's going to come out soon, and this is the song that is going to be, have a video for it. Was my last song. Thank you so much for listening.
That was Redress from Victoria, live on CITR 101.9 FM. We're going to take a little break so we can get settled. We're just going to play some ads, and then we'll play the Chaotic Music Meetings theme song. Redress, thank you for being here, but I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Are you considering a master's degree? Launch your career with a master's in digital media. It's co-offered by UBC, SFU, Emily Carr, and BCIT. And you get to work with the industry to learn essential collaboration, leadership, and teamwork skills while building digital media products. Learn more about this at an online webinar on December 6th. For more information, visit thecdm.ca. That is thecdm.ca.
That track to play yet. Hello, you're listening to CITR. I'm here with Redress.
Hello.
Also known as Alec Green.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty darn well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel very comfortable. This is a pre-recorded episode, so we're not live.
Crazy.
So we get to pause whenever we want and just take a little rest, which is great for my anxiety. I'm feeling very comfortable. Thank you so much for performing.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been nice getting coming over here. It's been nice traversing around UBC.
Cheers. Yeah, because you're from Victoria.
Yes,
and you were telling me earlier that, like, when you come to Vancouver, it's kind of an overwhelming experience.
Oh yeah, I feel as stupid as a baby. It's crazy. like in Victoria, I know like all of the bus schedules by heart, and I like know where everything that I would ever need is.
Mm-hmm.
And in Vancouver, it's just like I've been the little fishes in the big pond, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and I have literally no idea about anything. living in Victoria, it's nice. I do really like it there.
Mm.
And always coming to Vancouver, I used to come here a lot, and now whenever I come here, it's just like all that memory of where everything is just, it's leached out of me.
Yeah.
Now I'm just swimming around with absolutely no thoughts in my head, getting in everyone's way.
But that kind of reminds me of a lot of your lyrics. Like, a lot of your lyrics kind of talk about, like, being in the dark and being shrouded and being kind of lost and...
Yeah, that's... not a direct analogy to Vancouver, but definitely how I feel with the city.
Right.
Not that I don't like it here. I definitely do really like it.
Mm-hmm. But that is something that you seem to want to express in your music.
Yeah. Yeah, I never, like, think too much about the lyrics when I write them down. It's just kind of like train of thought or, like, unconscious thinking. I just, like, write down whatever I'm, like, thinking about and then kind of edit it later.
Mm-hmm.
But that does come up a lot. And, like, I definitely do want to explore those kinds of themes.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I feel like that's a good place to start. And not that you're, like, just starting, obviously, but, like, I take that as a philosophical starting point.
Yeah.
That, like, you first have to admit that you're lost and you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I have no problems admitting that.
Well, I really appreciate hearing it. Like, I'm so sick of this, like, cool guy mentality of, like, trying to show people that you are doing everything seamlessly and mm-hmm. without fault.
Oh no, I bumble around all the time.
Me too.
Yeah. And I don't know very much about a lot of things, but I do know a lot about some things.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I'll know more about more things as life continues.
Yeah, hopefully.
that's my goal.
And thank you for being here and sharing what you do know,
because
I'm really fascinated with what you share.
Thank you.
So I don't really, again, I don't have an agenda for today. I just sort of, like, I'm a fan of your music, and I'm a fan of your, like, expressiveness, and I just kind of want to talk about art with you.
Oh, wow. That's something I do quite enjoy talking about.
Cool.
Thank you.
So you are involved in a lot of different projects.
Yes.
I know that... this is kind of funny to start with, but I know that your day job is you work at a flower shop.
I do, yes.
And what do you do for them?
I clean a lot, and I help customers, and I make bouquets, and I make arrangements, and I just, like, do floral shop things.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag little floral shop things.
Well, I am. Like, the reason I bring it up is because I do think of flower arrangement as a you know, a very valid form of art.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's very, like, creative, which I'm glad that I have, like, some kind of creative outlet in my job.
Right. But can you, like, what kind of thought goes into making an arrangement, or, like, what kind of arrangements do you make, or what do you sort of look for when you're putting, like, something like that together?
Like, sizes of flowers, and if, like, a flower has, like, a lot of different flowers on it, like, there's a lot of, like, breaks on it, then, and, like, color scheme, stuff like that, just general, like, size and placement.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, like, very formulaic.
Right. It is formulaic?
Yeah, I think so. Because there's, like, a method of, like, making a sort of, like, triangle just so that your eye doesn't get, like, stuck in one spot and can appreciate the whole thing. Kind of moves around in a circle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it because, like, arranging anything or, like, working with composition in general seems, like, to carry over across a lot of different medias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music has a certain sense of composition, and so does, like, making visual art.
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider yourself a visual artist?
Yes, I'm in school for visual art right now.
Right.
It's what I do with, like, the vast majority of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, like, I'm still a student is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy it a lot, and I want to pursue it further for sure.
Right. I think of myself as a student, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that I'm in school, but
yeah.
I also do, like, I work in a school community.
Mm-hmm.
And this atmosphere seems very, like, relatable. Like,
yeah.
Overworked and stressed out and, like, trying to work on something you're very passionate about,
mm-hmm.
but in a system that is not for everyone.
Definitely less than ideal.
Right.
It's interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I do love going to school a lot, though. It is... I love it. I love school.
Yeah.
Just not a very, like, widely held opinion, but I don't appreciate, like, everything about, like, the system, but I like having, like, a regulated place to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a job.
Yeah, totally.
And that I like doing.
Yeah. And it makes a huge difference when you're actually, like, when you're studying something that you're passionate about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm. Speaking of passions... you also play bass in a band called Teenage Wedding.
Oh, I sure do. I love Teenage Wedding, and I also love the bass guitar.
How did you come to be a part of that band?
It was pretty exciting when I've been friends with Teresa for a long time, the drummer of Teenage Wedding, and before, like, one of my first redress shows, they took me out for tacos. And they sat me down and asked me if I would like to be their tour bassist, which I obviously, it was a resounding yes.
Mm.
And so I toured with them this past summer, and when we got back, I took a break from playing with them as the regular bassist, Dylan, was still playing with them, and then he... left to go teach little children how to read and be like a kindergarten teacher. So I am now the reigning bassist.
Right. I feel like I've heard similar stories before. Like, that seems to be a real way to sort of, like, sneak your way into a band,
yeah.
is to, like, wait for them to go on tour.
Please let me be in your band.
Because often, you know, one musician can't commit to going on tour.
Yeah.
And bands often have to find a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's a really intimate relationship going on tour with someone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. We got really close.
Right.
Which was really special.
Were you all, like, traveling in the same vehicle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the five of us and all of our gear, including a drum kit and everybody's amps.
Right.
In, like, a pretty small van.
Right.
So it was we got really close very fast.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, okay, like, last time I saw you on stage, you were playing with OKGB at Redgate.
Yes, I did play for them for a short while. Maybe I am still filling in for them. That is yet to be determined. It's a little bit of a gamble. Sometimes you gamble and win, and sometimes you gamble and lose, as they say.
Sure. Cool. I do also just want to plug, while you're here, I heard some recordings that you did today on CFUV's Bandcamp page.
Oh, crazy.
CFUV, if you don't know, is the UVic radio station in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a really amazing collection of recordings from local and touring bands on their CFUV Bandcamp, so please check that out if you have time. Oh my god, there's so many bands you're in. can I ask you about Miffed Neighbors?
Oh my gosh. That was my very first band from when I was in high school and out of high school as well.
Mm.
That's where I first met the lovely Teresa Krautner,
right.
The world's most amazing drummer, if I do say so myself. And we played together for almost 4 years, and we put out a bunch of music, and it was definitely it opened my eyes to, like, what you can do with music.
Mm.
And, like, where you can kind of go, because we've just started in, like, her in Teresa's garage, and then suddenly we were, like, playing Otolith Festival in Tofino and, like,
right.
going all around the island. It was really fun.
Cool. I looked up your Bandcamp last week, and I really loved the tracks on there, but I also really caught my eye that, is this the reason you're called Miffed Neighbors, is that you had a neighbor who was constantly complaining about the noise?
Yeah.
Can you tell me that story?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so while we were practicing in Teresa's garage, she had a fairly angry neighbor, and whenever we practiced too loud, he would come over to, like, to her backyard and, like, scowl at us through the back garage door. And eventually, after a few months, he installed a decibel sensor that only went off when we reached a certain decibel, obviously. And it was of, like, a pre-recorded electronic dog barking noise. Which it was, like, we couldn't even really hear it from inside the garage, so he was just annoying himself more.
That is, like, the strangest form of passive aggression I've ever heard.
Yeah, like, he never really came and talked to us face-to-face.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just, like, scowled at us and, like, set off these alarms from afar.
Wow.
Like, it was so funny.
That's quite a move. Mm-hmm. Wait, is that what your song Bark is referencing?
I guess it could be, yeah. I did write that song while I was still in high school, so.
Right. Yeah. Cool. and my head is just going in a million different directions, because it occurs to me that there are a lot of things I want to ask you about. But maybe we should take a break and play a track.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
Just so I can get my head a bit organized.
Okay.
Okay. What are we going to play? I'm going to play the track that you heard the first second of that started playing after my theme song. This is a new track called Transom by Planning to Rock, and the album was called Powerhouse. This is a Berlin-based musician. Take a listen.
Transom, baby, I want you to know that I feel transom. Baby, I need you to know that you feel transom. So transom to my baby, I want you to know that I feel transom. Baby, I need you to know that you feel transom. So transom to my so transom to my we're up at night, baby, you touch me right, kissing my genders in our bedroom light, you touching me tender, you made me so wet, put my body on film, and my face on mask, touch me again, baby, you make me wet, baby, you transom, kiss me tender, you make me so wet, we'll be right back.
Nice, fade out. I like to let tracks fade out all the way. Yeah, what you just heard was Planning to Rock with their song Transom. This episode is brought to you by Big Boy Construction, driving out tenderness to serve you better. And I'm here in the CITR studio with Redress.
Hello.
Hey. So I said that I was going to take a break and get my brain organized, but I really didn't. I'm still just as disorganized. I realize I haven't really put any thought into what I'm going to ask you. Let's just dive back into it.
Okay, perfect.
We're always kind of lost in general.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time.
So we mentioned your song Bark, which you also performed today.
Yes, I did.
And it occurs to me, though, that you write about animals quite a bit. Would you say so?
Yeah. There's at least two animal references that I can think of off the top of my head.
Bark and swine?
Yes. Right. In Ascension.
Right.
Talking about pigs. Take what you will from that.
Yeah. But what does that mean to you? Like, why pigs in that song?
Why pigs? I just like saying the word swine a lot. Mm. Also, some people might know that swine or pig is also a metaphor for police.
Right.
And I am not a huge fan of that organization.
Mm-hmm. I relate to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've talked about that on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I very much fear the police.
Yeah, I also do. It's Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
They're not amazing. Subpar.
Right. So in the context of that song, Swine is about the police or just in general, like?
I would have to, like, read the lyrics again to actually understand. It wasn't, like, intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I have a different song in a different band where I sing about swines, and that is directly referencing my contempt for the police.
Right.
But in that song, it wasn't intentional for that to be what's taken out of it. But if that's what you take out of it, then I definitely condone that.
I always find it really interesting when people are writing songs kind of in a stream of consciousness way, or it just sort of, it's something that comes out without you really, like, attaching a lot of meaning to it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so emotionally expressive,
mm-hmm.
That it always ends up taking on meaning for different meanings for different people.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to explore more.
Right. Yeah, it's a very interesting idea to create something and broadcast it that doesn't necessarily mean any particular thing to you, but that you hope that people will derive meaning from it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's weird. I like doing that a lot, because I have like a hard time coming up with meanings for things by myself anyway, so like just having this kind of outlet where I can just like blab and kind of make nonsense words and put them together in a way that doesn't really make any sense or have to make any sense it's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Personally, I feel like I resent having to make sense or like having to form sentences.
Yeah.
Even.
If I could just like scream and people could understand what I mean from that, it would be really nice.
Yeah.
Instead of having to like actually form words.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
Oh, and thank you for coming in here and doing a bit of screaming. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, me too. It's always my favorite part.
Mm. One lyric that really stood out to me is something missing when it's not.
Yeah.
And that to me, like, the way, in the moment, the way that you said it, I felt like I derived some meaning from it, or I understood what that meant. But now looking back, I realize just how subjective that can be.
Yeah. That song is kind of actually the only one that I have, that I had, like, some intention going into. It's one of the first tracks that I actually, like, wrote lyrics for, and that was... unsurprisingly for lost love of mine, but I also have another meaning for it. Is it's when my cat is too far away for me to pet and then just moves further away the closer I get to him.
Wow.
That is the secondary meaning.
Yeah, that is a powerful image.
Yeah.
Wow, cool. And again, it kind of speaks to that other... actually, I'm sorry, I can't remember if this was the same song or another song. Reaching for something that might not reach back.
That's from Shrouded.
Right.
Yes, not quite the same song.
But a similar kind of tone to me, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
The idea of, like, something being out of reach or, like, intangible or,
yeah,
or something that just doesn't respond.
Yeah, I think that was kind of more along like the longing train of thought that I was still on, and less about longing for my cat to cuddle
right.
me.
Right. So there's a third animal already.
Yeah. Exactly.
And one thing that I find really, really fascinating about your music is the sort of, like, interplay between digital and natural themes.
Yeah.
Like, you are making electronic music, and it has a very, like, I wouldn't say unnatural. I don't even know what that means, unnatural. And when I think of nature, I kind of think of, well, that means everything, and that humans are a part of it, and anything that humans make are, in some sense, a part of it.
Yeah.
But it is interesting whenever people are playing with the, like, the relationship between digital and natural.
Yeah, I definitely, that is also very intentional, and I really like doing that, and I like just going out and, like, recording things with my phone and out in, like, the natural space, and then putting it into, like, a dance music context, because it's very interesting, like, the dynamic between, like, being out in nature and, like, having this, like, kind of tranquil space around you, and then putting that kind of calmness into something where you're like, okay, I'm gonna rave to this now.
Mm-hmm. And that seems so beautiful to me, to actually, like, take a recording out in a very serene place, like in the woods or somewhere,
yeah,
and like incorporating that into your electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me to, like, it kind of reminds me just how related they are, and how, like, they're not so different, and how they can be, like, exchanged and sort of, like, played with, and, like, it reminds me of, like, just how related they are.
Yeah. I think that, like, the things that make sound can all be very different, but the sound itself is all kind of on the same playing field, and the way that you, like, mix them and interchange them can, like, sound is just sound. And like the feelings and objects that it's attached to, those it could be anything.
Mm-hmm. And you, when you play your solo set live, like, it's mostly just you and a microphone and your computer, right?
Yeah, sometimes I have a keyboard with me, but I've kind of not used it as much, because I get too shaky on stage, and then I just can't play it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've met a lot of artists who have a similar setup where they are, Lord Fuckerman, for example, is another one who has many tracks where they are just hitting play,
mm-hmm,
and then singing along, or maybe even not, like, just lying down on the ground. And And although they are such an amazing artist and a really brilliant performer, they have told me before that, you know, that they've been nervous about being accepted by other musicians just because, like, they feel like they're going to be caught out or something. It's like, I just press play.
That's exactly how I feel as well.
Right.
A lot of the time, because I feel like I'm faking it.
Really?
A lot of the time. Yeah, because, like, a lot of my sounds, like, I don't even make myself. I just, like, scalp them from YouTube or, like, find sample packs online that I make my songs with. So, like, I'm not even really, like, making the songs to begin with, or, like, I'm putting it together, but it's like a jigsaw puzzle unless, like, mm-hmm. making something.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my, like, anxiety towards it. Mm. I know that it, like, doesn't have to be like that, and a lot of people don't think about it like that. But I do that, and then, like, when I come on stage and just have my laptop and press play and, like, sometimes sing and sometimes just, like, groove or do whatever,
mm-hmm.
it always feels kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, for my part, I would just like to tell you that, like, I do really believe in that form of music making. And,
thank you.
Well, and it's like, I don't think it matters necessarily that you aren't creating all of the sounds yourself, because mm-hmm. you do create something entirely new out of reworking them and sort of, you know, like combining them and distilling them into a whole new piece of art.
Yeah, that's kind of what's keeping me going, just like realizing that found art is still art.
Mm-hmm.
And, is a good notion.
And it's not just found, even. Like, you've really, like, you've arranged it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very true. Yeah, I'm still, like, really proud of what I do, and I really enjoy playing for other people.
Mm. I really enjoy seeing you perform. Like, you really seem in your element.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm just like, oh, this is crazy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm going to play a song by one of my favorite bands, and this is my new favorite album. It's called Petrified by a band called Red Circle. This band is, they keep telling me that they're breaking up, and they keep talking about their band as if it's come to an end and like, wow, it was a really great ride. But every once in a while, they play a show, so I don't know what to think. They just had their album released for Petrified a couple weeks ago, and I just refuse to believe that they're dead. So this is Red Circle with a song called Kids. Thank you. That was Red Circle from their album Petrified. Just about done the show here, but I'm talking to Alec Green, also known as Redress.
Hi.
we talked about the bands that you've been in the past, but we even left one out because you play in Crown.
Yes,
another Victoria-based band, like pop punk band.
Yes.
So I just kind of wanted to plug them because yes. I didn't want to let that go.
They're one of my favorite bands that I play in. I love all of them equally, but Crown I maybe love the best.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's cute. So you've got a show coming up and a music video coming out.
Yes. On December 8th, I'm playing here in Vancouver.
Whoa! Oh, my God!
At a new venue called Static Jupiter. It's the Boys in Blush release party. I think it will be very fun. Ivory Towers is also playing.
That's a great bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. Verboten is putting it on.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... Sorry, could you tell us the name of the venue again? Because it is brand new. I hadn't heard about it.
It's Static Jupiter. I don't have, like, an address, but apparently it's in Mount Pleasant.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm so curious to see what the video for that song is going to look like. I can't wait.
I can't wait to release it.
Do you want to keep it secret, or can you tell us anything about, like, the production of the video?
I can tell you a little bit about it.
Oh, sneak peek.
Yeah, it's coming out probably mid-December, maybe after the 15th. Mm. My absolutely amazing friend Gigi directed it and shot it all in one day. And then edited it the next day, so, like, it was completely done in 2 days, which is amazing.
Wow.
It's the main themes are purple, which I'm not normally a fan of the color purple, but in this context, I think it works really well.
Mm.
There's also some movement. I'm moving sometimes. Mm-hmm. And my favorite scene is when I am winking. The camera is really cute. Like when the little bells go off, I gave like a little, you can't see this, but I was trying to wink and then I realized that we were on radio and then I was like, well, should I wink still in real life?
I think it's fine if you wink and then like awkwardly explain what just happened. That works.
Yeah. You can understand that there is a wink. That's the moral of that story.
Try to understand.
Yeah.
Try to understand.
Yeah.
Well, Alec, thank you again for being here. Thank you for performing. Thank you for talking to me about art.
Thank you so much for having me over here. This has been a blast.
I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to close it out with one more song. This is a new single. That recently came to the station. It's a band from Madrid called Cariño on Elephant Records, and the song is called Bisexual.